Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But anyway, we didn't come here to talk about high school football. We have Bethany Hallam, our county councilwoman here, Allegheny County councilwoman here. And Bethany, I tell you, one of the things that we've got a lot to get to, but one of the things that impressed me the most, impresses me the most about you is how involved in your community you really are. So I can give you a pass on many of the issues that you are completely wrong on, because you do care and you do do a lot of good things. Friday night, you know, you invited me to that thing in Wilkinsburg, that open mic night, and I thought that was one of the coolest things I've been to in a long, long time. And I'll tell you, it was cool because it was like a positive place for people to go. The vibe was good, and there seemed to be people in that building that probably don't get out of the house a whole lot. Because they're, you know, either they don't, you know, they're I don't want to say afraid, but they don't like to go out into the community anymore or whatever. Those kinds of events, I mean, what was the sort of the genesis of that? And is that a monthly thing now? Do you want to get that thing going every month or weekly or what?
It's called Community Forge. It's the old Johnson Elementary School in Wilkinsburg, right on the corner of Franklin and Ardmore. And it's something that is lacking in the Wilkinsburg community, is having a free place that people can go on a Friday night, get food and have a good time. And it was an open mic night, so show off a talent or some kind of skill that you have. And I think it's just a nice release from people. There's so much horribleness in the world every single day. I mean, we talk about it here. And people just want to get away from it sometimes, and I think it's a great way.
There's just so much negativity, but that event, what I liked the most about it, like I said, it just was such a positive vibe. It's like, man, people are just chilling.
Did you like my talent?
Yeah. Your talent was incredible, yes. Playing the piano, what was it, upside down?
Upside down. How many people can do that?
I will say the MC of the event had so much energy.
Jaquia May.
She had so much energy. I was like pumped up when I walked out of there. Like, you know, I don't know, like, how to describe it. Like, if you're, you know, almost like if you're going to play football or basketball or something, you know, get that adrenaline. I mean, she could be a coach.
And she has a voice,
you know,
doesn't she?
She can sing. So those kind of events, and I think you're involved in a lot of those kind of events. You know, we don't talk enough about those kind of events.
Yeah. There's good stuff that goes on in the world, too. We're just so consumed
right.
by the bad stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's all really, you know, one of the things that since I've started this show, I try and point things like that out and talk about things like that. And we're so negative all the time. But that was a great event. And I think, you know what, a place in a community like Wilkinsburg that I think is one of those communities that sort of gets left behind.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really part of the city. They're trying to become part of the city, but they're not really at a place where they can fully support themselves. And, you know, those kind of communities.
And now, there's a lot of municipalities out there like that. We have 130 municipalities in Allegheny County.
Yeah.
And people get lost, and that's not okay. And I represent all of them. So whatever I can do to be there for people who invite me to come,
yes.
I'll be there.
You know, again, the open mic night, that was cool. Hopefully you can keep that rolling, and hopefully, you know, attendance gets better and better, and, you know, you get more and more people there. It's just, I thought it was a great night. Now, you have a press conference today that you're going to be talking about. That we're going to talk about, and it sounds like it's something that's going on that you've been very instrumental in fighting a battle.
Yeah, there was a lawsuit filed yesterday, a class action lawsuit on behalf of multiple plaintiffs who were in custody in the Allegheny County Jail on probation detainers. And so the lawsuit was filed against Judges Bigley, Mariani, and Rangos, and also Warden Orlando Harper at the Allegheny County Jail. So what a lot of people don't realize is the majority of the population at the Allegheny County Jail, they're not there serving a sentence for a crime they were convicted of. They're there as a result of a probation violation. We have technical probation violations, such as testing positive on a drug test or missing an appointment with your probation officer, or direct violations, which means you were on probation and you caught a new charge. But if the judge is going to let you out on bail on that new charge, why should you be held just because you were on probation? Obviously, there's no danger to the community there.
So are you so what is the lawsuit? What is actually like sort of the legal point that's being this suit is going to be based on?
That people are unconstitutionally being detained in the Allegheny County Jail on probation detainers.
OK, so someone is on probation. Mm-hmm. They get arrested. Mm-hmm. And they're not now allowed to come out on bail? Is that what?
Right. So say you're on probation. You've been on probation for 2 years and you get caught shoplifting. You get arrested for shoplifting. Normally, maybe the judge would give you a $1,000 bail. You post $100 and you're out. But because you're on probation, you are sitting on a probation detainer, even if you were to pay that bail that they assign you. You're sitting there awaiting trial for something you were not yet convicted of. I mean, that's why I went to jail. I didn't go to jail because of a sentence for a crime I was convicted of. I was on probation for a crime I was convicted of, and I tested positive on a drug test. And so I sat in there, and when you're in on a probation detainer, you have no idea when you're getting out. It's not like you have a sentence and you can count down the days till you get to go home to your family, go back to your job, see your kids. You're sitting there waiting at the mercy of these judges who have so many other cases on their plate, and you're the furthest thing from their mind.
We're here with Councilwoman Bethany Hallam, who is you guys are having a press conference today to what are you going to basically tell the world at this press conference?
Announce the lawsuit that was filed. Again, the lawsuit was filed on behalf of multiple plaintiffs at the Allegheny County Jail being held on detainers. It was filed against three judges and Warden Harper at the Allegheny County Jail. And it's basically saying that it's unconstitutional to hold people in jail indefinitely on probation detainers.
So if they get bail, that means that the judge has determined that they are capable of going out and living in society until their trial and not causing problems.
Correct. That's exactly how you assess bail.
Okay. So basically then, how many people are involved in this lawsuit?
I believe there's six plaintiffs, but it's on behalf of 600 people who are currently sitting on probation detainers at the jail.
Okay. So you as a county official are going to be joining this, the push for this lawsuit? Is that
absolutely
against the county jail?
I believe it's right. If I had a lawyer, I would file my own lawsuits against the county jail for the, I believe that they are violating multiple laws.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, you've had this thing about the jail, and I know it's been a big issue with you. And so today, obviously, it comes to a head. Is there like a monetary number that they're suing for? Or are they just suing for change in laws? Are they suing change in policies? What are they suing for?
All of the above. So there's definitely monetary damages for pain and suffering for being held in the jail against their constitutional right. And then also to change this practice. That's why the judges and the warden are named in this lawsuit. And so I think it's really important that people remember one of the most fundamental principles of this country is that you are innocent until proven guilty. When you are sitting in a probation detainer in jail, you have not been proven guilty of anything. You are sitting at the mercy of your judge.
That is true. And, there is got to be some resolution where you kind of know that, okay, a week from now I'll be getting out, or 2 weeks from now I'll be getting out, or whatever. But if you've been granted bail, I don't understand. How can they hold you? Here's the thing. How can they then hold you if you've been granted bail?
Exactly. I have talked to people who got technical violations. I just talked to a guy when I was down there the other day, and he's been sitting in there for over a year on a technical violation because he missed a therapy session that was court ordered.
Yeah. Well, listen, as somebody who used to be a PO in Philadelphia,
I still can never believe that, Paul.
And had to chase all these kids all over the damn city because they didn't want to come in and, pee in the cup type thing. I have a certain respect for that side of things. But I do think that also as a PO, I was probably pretty lenient in a lot of ways, because things like that, like you're talking about technical violations, I think we shouldn't be putting people in jail for those kinds of things.
Again, things as simple as testing positive for marijuana on a drug test, things as simple as missing a doctor's appointment or therapy session, things as simple as you were supposed to meet your PO at noon and your bus was late and you got there at one and they were gone. I mean, people are sitting in jail, and us taxpayers are footing the bill of that to put unconvicted people in jail. And that's not right. And I'm very excited to see this lawsuit go forward.
Especially for some of the violations that you're talking about. I mean, some of the violations that you're talking about, I mean, when I would see those kinds of things with these kids, I mean, again, I was a juvenile probation, but the bottom line is, same basic system. I just hated the fact that, okay, kid comes in, he looks like he was smoking weed and is, you know, I'm not going to go through all the problems, you know what I mean? Tell them, don't do it again. Come back next week and be clean. You know, whatever. Anyway.
But even for people, though, who have been who are charged with new charges. So, yes, agree 100% about the technical violations. But even the people who are coming in on new charges, if the judge on those new charges thinks that it is safe to let them out on bail, why are they being detained by probation?
Exactly. That's a great question. But first, I'm going to ask you, Stephen Zappella made a very interesting ruling, or I don't know if he actually officially made the ruling, but he said to the media he's going to do this, and we're going to talk about that next. So we just heard an ad for, I don't know, was it Oz or Fetterman or what? In that segment, I think we heard an ad for both of them. And as you can see on the TV behind me, you spoke at an event for Fetterman. I'm assuming you're backing the Fetterman train.
Oh, absolutely.
This is your guy.
That was Friday, Parador Inn in the North Side. I spoke at a fundraiser for him, and it was just exciting to see him back on the campaign trail.
So what did you say? What pearls of wisdom did you give the crowd? Here's my question about these kinds of rallies, and I'm not trying to be facetious. How many independent, undecided, completely open-minded people show up at these things?
Okay, so rallies, okay, can kind of understand that argument, but that's more of a hype up. It's the same reason you pregame or tailgate at a Steelers game, right? Is you're getting yourself hyped up and ready for the game. That's what a rally's doing for you.
Yeah.
If I figured, okay. A fundraiser was raising money. Yes.
This was a fundraiser.
But it looked like a rally. It was a huge crowd. We had multiple speakers.
The fundraiser, unfortunately, you can't do politics in this country without fundraising. That's for sure.
Doesn't that suck, though? It's my least favorite part.
And this campaign is going to be the most expensive one maybe in the history of Senate campaigns.
Yeah, what were you saying to me earlier about how much?
Well, on the other side, Shapiro raised $50 million. To beat a guy he should beat in his sleep.
I saw they said that his campaign finance report was 10,000 pages long.
It's just ridiculous. We have Councilwoman Bethany Hallam with us for another half hour, so we're going to continue to turn through some of these topics and ask us all kinds of questions. The DA, Stephen Zappella, I don't know if you saw the story last week, Oliver High School. There was an assault. 15-year-old boy assaulted a teacher. It's obviously been investigated for sex crimes. It's obviously a sexual assault, an attempted rape, whatever you want to call it. And of course, the fallout from it has been, what do you do with this kid? He's 15. Obviously, he's got some real issues, and obviously, he's in some ways very dangerous. He's very dangerous, and he's obviously a danger to, the other kids in the school and obviously the teachers. So you have to do something. But my feeling is, and again, I have a soft spot when it's a youngster like this, 15 years old, I don't know that just throwing him away, putting him in prison, because you put him in prison, right? You put him in adult prison, even if it's for 4 or 5 years, you're pretty much creating a criminal, a future criminal. I mean, I hate to say it that way. Numbers don't lie. Statistics don't lie. But there has to be some consequences. Stephen Zappella says he's going to try this kid as an adult. Bethany, I don't know that I completely 100% can get there. I just feel like There's got to be a better way to do the juvenile justice system than we're doing.
I couldn't agree. More about that, especially because isn't Oliver now is a school for children with developmental disabilities?
Yes.
And so what the district attorney is essentially saying is that we think the best place for a kid with developmental disabilities is jail. The Allegheny County Jail, charged as an adult. I don't think there's a situation where a child should ever be charged as an adult. We in this country, we set this line that 18, which I still think are children. If when I see 18-year-olds in the Allegheny County Jail, it breaks my heart. But we're saying that you need to be 18 to make decisions as an adult, to be able to, you know, make legal decisions, be a legal adult, be able to go to the military, be able to do a lot of different things. And yet we're bending the rules for someone who allegedly commits a crime. I just don't understand. That doesn't sit well with me. And I don't think it matters.
Well, here's a question. You know, we've closed Schumann Center.
Right.
We've closed places like Vision Quest. Mm-hmm. We've closed a number of different of those kind of services. Glen Mills Schools used to have 750 beds. It's you know, its license has been suspended, so it's closed. Where do we send? What do we do with these kids?
I mean, that is the question that a lot of people have been asking ever since Schumann closed. And, you know, I think first it's important to note that Schumann should have closed. Schumann needed to close. That facility was a mess. There were a lot of horrible things going on there. That facility needed to close, but without a plan, without a plan about where you were going to house these kids, because you know what's happening. There isn't another facility here locally that they're going to. Kids who are not charged as an adult are ordered to be held in a lockdown facility are being sent counties away from here. So counties away from their families, counties away from their support system. And like you said, we're setting them up for failure as adults because we know that our correction system in this country does not correct behaviors. Right. There's no rehabilitation that happens there. They're just locking them in cages and ruining them for life.
Rather than closing Schumann, though, couldn't they have just basically got rid of all of the people that run the place and sort of restart it? I mean, to me, like I said,
yeah, they could have.
You close it, that's great. You close Glen Mills because, you know, Glen Mills, for instance, there was some allegations of abuse by counselors and this and that and the other thing. And the culture was, you know, and so CYF came in. I get it. But closing is not the answer to me, because now you've got 750 beds in right outside of Philadelphia in a really good campus school that aren't being used.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They closed it without a plan.
Exactly.
That's you should call up the county executive and ask him why, because on county council, nobody made us aware that they were closing it. On the jail oversight board, nobody made us aware that they were closing it. I found out when everyone else did on the news.
Well, again, that's the point. And so, you know, and those are questions, you know, you're right, probably for Rich Fitzgerald. Yeah. Why is there not something that is open?
What his plan was. I would love to know what the county executive's plan was when he closed Schumann. Yeah. Where did you even think for a second where these kids were going to go? Did you even think for a second how hard it was going to be for their families to visit them if you shipped them off hours away? Did you ever stop for a second to think?
Well, that's the thing. When it comes to the juvenile justice system, to me, one of the biggest issues is the answer is always just shut it down, close it, whatever. You know what I mean?
But the real question should be what can we build instead?
Exactly.
But not a jail, not a prison. What kind of community support can we build so that we don't have a need for these facilities? That is the real question at the end of the day when we talk about what will we build. It's what kind of community infrastructure we will build, what kind of support network we will build for these kids, because I can promise you that jails and prisons aren't helping anyone.
No.
Especially people with developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities. The man who died in the Allegheny County Jail 2 weeks ago had severe intellectual disabilities and severe autism and was sitting in jail on a $100 bond.
Well,
and now
he's
dead.
I think that, you know, there are definitely places that need to jails need to exist, because there are definitely some people that need to be in prison or in jail.
Well, as you said before, there are some things we will always disagree on.
Well, I mean, again, you know, listen. Just as an aside, I told myself I wouldn't do it, but I started to watch this Dahmer on Netflix.
I've been watching it too.
And I'm keep thinking to myself, that crazy ass Bethany is trying to tell me that this guy should not have should not have life without parole.
And do you want to know what I said to George when we were sitting there watching it? Is this is exactly what Paul was going to bring up, and he's going to say Bethany wants to let Jeffrey Dahmer out of jail. I knew you were going to say that.
Listen, I promised I would not watch that show. I promised myself I would have nothing to do with it. I'm like, I do not want to watch. It's dark. It's disgusting. It's I just don't need to watch it. But of course, everybody's talking about it, this and that and everything. I watched a couple of episodes and I said, it's exactly why I didn't want to watch it. But I kept thinking to myself,
I know you did.
So I'm going to ask this. I'm going to ask Bethany, when someday when I see her, is this the guy that deserved no parole?
I think
life without parole.
I do not believe that anybody deserves to be sentenced to life without parole. I think that what that says is no matter what you do, no matter how much you rehabilitate, no matter how much you change your life, you will never have a chance. Because if that's the case, what incentive do they have to work on themselves? What incentive do they have to get better? There are a lot of people who need mental health and psychiatric treatment. That is absolutely the case. But there are even more people who need some sort of rehabilitation that they're never going to get from our current jail and prison system, ever.
I'm going to go with a dude that killed 18 people and ate them, probably is not going to be rehabilitated.
But do you remember what our conversation was about that? Is I said there may be situations where people end up never getting parole. That is the reality. But what I'm saying is that nobody should be sentenced without ever even having the possibility for parole. Never.
I love you to death, but you're way out in left field on this one.
I think that you are. Someday, Paul, someday you will see that all these things that I talk about that you think are radical are just going to be the reality. But I was just ahead of it.
By the way, you sparked the interest of one Anthony in Oakland. He wants to get at you. So,
he always does.
We'll see if we have a few minutes for phone call here. Can you hear it in your headphones? That's Bethany. That we've got Bethany Hallam. We've got Bethany Hallam, the councilwoman here. And as I said before, we've got about 30-40 seconds here, so I'm going to allow our guy on hold here. He's been chomping at the bit to get at you. He wants me to set up a debate between you and him on this show.
I mean, if he wants to get whooped on live radio, I'm cool with that. Anthony in Oakland knows I'm a big fan of his, but I love to argue with him.
Here we go. Anthony, what do you got for her?
Well, I just saw a Gallup poll and a Mammoth poll that said that the abortion is about 10th on the list that's going to affect the elections that are coming up. Crime and inflation are number one. And this is what we were talking about last week, Paul, where there's a disconnect in the Democratic Party by taking on all these progressive issues that a lot of us, especially black males, aren't concerned about.
So, Anthony, what I would say to you is that I don't dispute that people care about crime, but what I'm saying is people just want crime to go down. Whether there's progressive prosecutors or conservative prosecutors, crime is going up everywhere. So instead of decades and decades, hundreds of years of trying the same old thing over and over again, why don't we for once stop the cycle and try something different? Why don't we for once invest in people on the front end, in our communities, into our schools?
We've been doing that too, though.
No, but we haven't
spending. We've spent more and more money on that kind of stuff.
No.
Every year.
No, every year we spend more and more and more money, tens of hundreds of millions of dollars on jails and policing instead of investing in things that help people.
There we go.
See, that's easy for her to say because you sound privileged. When you live in the communities that are affected by the crime, we have a whole different perspective. And that's our problem in the party now. We listen to all you progressive types.
Wait,
to our community.
What's the word you use? Wokesters. I think I'm going to start using that word.
Yeah. They have no clue. And then they sit there when you don't grab on to their initiative and call you a homophobe.
All right, Anthony.
I don't know, Anthony. I'm not going to be slinging around homophobic claims. I'm not going to say that about you because I don't think that. But what I'm going to say is that I agree with you that there is a disconnect in the Democratic Party. I agree with you that there is a disconnect in communities because people are so scared. We're having folks who are instilling fear in our communities that the only way that we can stop crime in our communities is to be tough on crime. but we have a tough on crime prosecutor here in Allegheny County. Why are our crime rates going up? I'm not changing the PA crime code from where I'm sitting. Having a progressive county council member doesn't change what crimes are crimes, but we have a conservative district attorney. Next. And so tell me why crime's going up here too. What we're doing isn't working. It's time to do something different.
I would say this. We have had the last mayor and this current mayor have neutered the police and their ability to do their job. So I don't know that I would completely put it on
how have
the
they done
prosecutor.
That?
They're not allowed to engage with people. They're not because, you know, oh, well, hey, if you stop somebody and, you know, they weren't actually doing something wrong, you might offend them for their life and they'll be scarred for life. And we can't do that because we can't pull people over.
Why would you want them to pull people over who weren't doing anything
from
wrong?
From the PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, it's KDKA AAA Traffic powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Bethany, thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!